it's not like you can hide from it, but it's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, to me, as things can happen in life, and you address it and you learn from it. And I would hope you learn and do better the next time.
Stampeders head coach Dave Dickinson addressing the media after the team's first practice of the week Tuesday afternoon. And the big story, the suspension of Cam Judge, the linebacker for the Calgary Stampeders. You heard his comments there. Judge suspended for one game for punching Lucky Whitehead. That after the contest back on Saturday, an overtime victory for the Lions, a two-point win. And I think this is exactly what we had kind of expected to come from this. So the Stampeders now kind of adapting on the fly and trying to get this thing all sorted out. We're expecting Dave Dickinson to give us a quick call in just moments here. But we did talk about it briefly in the in the morning report there, Patty, and we played the comments from Cam Judge. He came out and he spoke to the media. The biggest thing, honestly, was for him. Like, he wasn't going to be given many details as to what was said
exactly
by the player, by Whitehead, that kind of led to him having his outburst.
I feel like that's been discussed with the people who really need to hear it, and I could have definitely handled it better than how I did. But I'm going to take my punishment and just move forward.
So he'll take his punishment and he'll move forward. And we'll see how this starts to affect the team moving forward. Like I mentioned, they've now got a big hole at that linebacker position that Cam Judge will not be able to fulfill this weekend.
Yeah, like you said, you meant the run off the stats there. This is a big loss for a guy for that defense on Stampeders are trying to stop. What maybe... You know, I don't know if, like, BC maybe surprised me a little bit there on Saturday with how they played. You know, just staying in that. Vernon Adams looked good. Everything. It's not a game you wanted to definitely drop at home, and now you lose on Saturday. It's, you know, you're four back of BC for the second spot, and now you're like, okay. It's a big – I don't know if – it's obviously not Cam Judge's departure is not going to – I don't think change the total outcome of the game.
It's not the Lions and losing Nathan Rourke.
No, exactly. It's definitely not that for sure. Just I get the comments from Cam Judge. I really do. So we'll go.
What else
was
he gonna say?
Exactly. He took it, and we'll never. Like,
I didn't expect anything different.
I mean, obviously Whitehead said
what he said.
Like, what do you?
And think? We move on.
So, let's go.
Dave Dickinson does join us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline now. Good morning, Dave. How are you on this Wednesday?
I'm doing good. You guys?
Yeah, you know, it's another beautiful day in paradise. It looks like the sun's going to come out again today, so the beautiful days keep rolling, and we're not going to complain about that. We were just kind of briefly mentioning it off the top, and I just kind of want to get this one out of the way. Cam Judge does get the one-game suspension. Won't be appealing it. Judge will serve it and move on. Just given my interactions with Cam, I was kind of surprised when I had heard it was him involved. I didn't see it. So my question is, were you surprised, I guess, as well, that this has all gone down and involved Cam?
I don't think I ever thought it would happen on our team, even though we're a passionate team. We're playing to win. But, you don't want anything like this to happen after a post-game type of situation. So... We really like having Cam on our squad. He's been a great addition. I think he's a great teammate. I think he's a good person, good man. So, you know, other than that happened, everybody can make a mistake. Shouldn't happen again, though, and we should move forward.
And you always talk about that kind of that culture around the locker room, and it really just echoes exactly what you just said. So I'm guessing you probably don't have to talk a lot to the team as far as, you know, reinforcing the message of keeping an even keel as you go in for a rematch here. I feel like your team has that. They understand that when they sign on the dotted line to join the Stampeders.
True, but I think every coach, everybody is going to say that. You got to make sure, you can't put yourself above the team. And, you know, most of the time we talk about that during the 60 minutes of the game. But any decision you make off the field around the city can have repercussions. You know, we've been, obviously, the same thing applies with COVID is we know it's still out there, and we know that if you get it, you're out. So we try to make sure all of our decisions we make off the field and around the city are, we're trying to be at least be smart, and hopefully it doesn't affect your, I guess, availability for the game. But we'll move forward as a team. We're ready to go. We need a good practice day today, though. Mm-hmm. We do. Talking on the weather, man, it's just crazy how, man, it just seems so dark when you get up these days. Like, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, you couldn't see as you were driving in the morning because the sun was right in your eyes, and that ain't happening anymore.
3-4 weeks ago, this was a great time to tee off. Now, not a chance. So that's the way I'm looking at it. You did mention it's a big hole at linebacker. How's the team going to adapt to that loss, just generally, I guess, on the defense?
Well, we got multiple people that we're looking at. We're not sure yet. I want to make sure that I always try to encourage competition and that it's just not your job just because one guy got hurt. You got to go earn it and you got to go show that you can do the job. So, you know, one good thing yesterday is Fraser Sopic came back in practice and he hasn't got a 100% clean bill of health. He had a broken thumb and they had some pins in it and he just got them out. So he practiced with a splint. I thought he looked like he was starting to get closer. And then the rest of the guys, like you said, we did lose Josiah Shackle, who plays that same position in the game. He's going to have trouble making it to the game. So there's some options, but we'll just see how it plays out.
Let's talk about the game itself. For me, I felt like it never had any rhythm. The penalties early and often, I felt like really derailed it. I don't know about you, but I find that when games start like that one did, a handful of flags early on, it usually snowballs throughout the rest of the game, and you continue to see flags going out, and it ends up being one of those where both teams are up. You know, your club was over 100 yards penalties. The Lions were right there as well. Do you know why it sometimes tends to snowball when things are mucky off the top?
Well, each crew kind of has their own way to call a game, and you know, we don't get the same crews all every week, so you got to adjust a little bit. Like I said, I think some penalties were easy to call. Others, you know, you've been doing that in other games, and you're not getting any calls, so you continue to do it, and all of a sudden you're getting the calls. You got to adjust. You know, the example was, you know, I guess illegal contact. You know, we haven't had a lot of those calls all year. They were called early and often. So we were talking to our DB coach, Dwayne Cameron. I said, hey, yeah, you're going to have to adjust. They got to be aware what they get away with in the past. They can't get away with today, and you got to adjust. And that's just, as a player, they got to realize that and try to play to the standard.
So is it a situation where you kind of, I don't know, you can't really look at tape on a referee group and understand what the standard would be, would you?
You can tell, not you don't know exactly what the standard for that group is going to be, but you can tell, like, trends. You know, certain crews call more roughing the quarterback for certain referees. You just say, hey, we got so-and-so, so you got to make sure you're, you know, stay off the quarterback if at all in doubt. And yet, that's how you win the game. You know, that's the crazy part, is that you win the game by hitting their quarterback. You win the game by being physical at the line of scrimmage. And you know, so you got to be careful. You're not going to take aggression out of your game plan, but you just kind of have that in your knowledge and in your memory bank. You know what it is. Try not to, obviously the rules are the rules, but try to make sure that you're playing, not putting it in the hands of the referee, I guess I should say. Make plays without giving them a chance to make calls on you.
There was a couple of instances early on in the game where Aaron Crawford, your long snapper, looked rather perturbed at the referees, and I was just wondering what it was. Like, one instance was off of a punt, and another one was off of a field goal, and I was just very confused because it wasn't something that I'm used to seeing from Aaron, and the situation seemed bizarre. I was just wondering if you could maybe fill us in on what was going on early on there.
Well, he took a 15-yarder, so he was obviously, he had lost a little bit of his focus on that. You know, I do know on the field goals and extra points and all that, they have an overload situation, and they kind of just tee off on our O-linemen. Two guys come down. I don't mind hitting them, but, you know, I do think there still should be some protection from getting crowned, and that's something that, you know, we made them aware of and we didn't get any. I haven't seen that really as a call, but I know, like, that's a job nobody really enjoys, just sitting there waiting for two or three guys to come, you know, and try to lay you out. So we've held up all year, though. Our protection's been excellent. That might have been something I know, because I was talking to the referees about that that Aaron was trying to voice as well. But ultimately, we just play the game, and we got to do our job and do it as well as we can.
Dave Dickinson, our guest here on the big show in the morning, the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders. You've got to be pleased with what your D-line is bringing. Four more sacks against BC. Do you like what that group is bringing to your games right now?
I do, but they did not have a quality game this past week, and they know it. They got sacks, but let's be honest. I thought BC controlled the line of scrimmage, especially in the run game. We were out of our gaps. We didn't play physical enough. In order to win, we'll have to play better with that group.
Was that kind of highlighted by the Jacob Butler run up the middle in overtime there?
Well, yeah, that one in the first touchdown of the game was massive. I mean, you could have drove your pickup truck right through it. We got washed on the front side, and we went the wrong way on the backside, and it was just a massive, massive hole. So, you know, you got to make them earn it. You know, they're going to make their plays anyway because they're so talented, but you got to make them earn it.
Wanted to ask about the offense too. Jake Mayer, I've asked you about it a little bit after the game and through practice, but you know, he wasn't sacked, but the ball was having to come out of his hands pretty quick. Do you have to maybe adapt with that offense a little bit as you go into a rematch here facing that tough front for BC?
No, you can get some sacks and some pressure. That's if you're going to throw 30 times or 35 times, that's going to happen. That's just part of the game. But, you know, try not to get yourself just be clean. Try to get yourself, if you're going to lose a battle, make sure it takes a couple seconds. And, he didn't have, he grows into games sometimes. He sees things over, you know, once, twice. Oh, there it is. I got it. He understands it. There isn't like necessarily, obviously, it's a seventh start. So I guess his memory bank or what he remembers from past defensive coordinators is not as large. His library is not as large as maybe some other quarterbacks, especially the guys that have played more. So I also, as a coach, you know, I'm trying to figure out what plays he likes and what plays he sees. You know, like I learned that back with Henry Burris is, just because I like a play doesn't mean that the quarterback sees it the way I do. I got to call the plays that the quarterback feels comfortable with and sees more clearly, and still trying to make sure I can find those plays for Jake and so he can go out there and be confident and really let it rip.
Well, we're looking forward to the game coming up Saturday. You'll be in BC. It's going to be an 8 o'clock start here in Calgary. Close practice today, final practice Thursday, travel on Friday. But yesterday, the Stampeders made a little bit of an announcement as well as far as the business operations side of things goes. Jay McNeil going to join the organization as Vice President of Business Ops, a former standout offensive lineman with the Stampeders from, I believe it was 1997 to 2007. So one of your old blockers from your first stint playing with the Stamps, a couple of President's rings in there as well. Just a thought on Jay joining the fold.
Yeah, we talked yesterday. He sounded super excited. I didn't even know the position was available. Alex Snell has been doing that and doing an outstanding job. And I just got a message yesterday that Alex had got promoted within our club. So we're so happy for Alex stays with us. Alex has done an outstanding job. But to bring Jay in the fold is nice. I mean, he's a football guy. He understands what we're doing over here. And yet he's in a business position. And, you know, what we need is some good, fresh ideas, some ways to kind of get ourselves into the community with a different generation, to get to the younger kids, to bring them to practice. You know, I was just even commenting on in our TV broadcast, you know, you never see, like, I'm so-and-so from the University of Montana, and you look at their face and you recognize them. You know, the CFL players are not recognizable because they don't get enough pub. They don't get they don't have the platform maybe that the NFL or hockey guys do. And you know the number, you know what they play, but do you really know what they look like unless you come to practice and meet them in person? And I think it's important that we get that out there because I love our guys, and I think they ultimately – they're the ones selling the game, and that's why our game is great. So Jay's going to be able to do that. I think he's got ideas to incorporate the alumni a little bit more. And also, you know, we're still trying to make money, but we want to be as accessible to our fans as possible. So for me, it's great because we're basically we're buddies and we have a good working relationship. And I believe if there's some ideas I have, Jay will give them credence, and hopefully we can kind of grow the game and grow it in Calgary. That's what we're interested in.
You bring up a great point as far as the players and the publicity and getting their faces out there. I was thinking about this as I was watching the Jays the other day, and I, you know, watch quite a few of the Jays. The parent company owns the team. But I was like, I don't know what number Bo Bichette is, but based on the uniforms that baseball players wear, you don't necessarily have to know the number. I know what he looks like. I recognize his face. I know his hair. I know his body shape, all those types of things. But for CFL players, I'd put NHL in there as well with the helmets and the masks and everything. It's a lot harder to do. So what are some of the things that you've maybe liked to do when you were a player in the CFL as far as getting yourself out there and trying to create some publicity with getting the face out there away from the game?
Well, one of the best was Alex Singleton. Yeah. You know, Alex put a lot of time into being out in the community, but he had the recognizable hair. He liked to take his helmet off and kind of whoosh his hair around there. And I do think he put in an enormous amount of time going places, representing our club and himself, and then also financially that can work out as well because people like to have good people on their teams. But I just think, like you said, it could be as easy as you get the starting lineups. I mean, I don't believe we don't even do starting lineups in the CFL. I don't believe you as a fan get to see what that person looks like. And I know most clubs in the CFL allow people to come to the practice, if not all. That's where I think it's important. As a kid, I want to meet a guy. I want to shake his hand. I want to see what, you know, and I've got a relationship now. I know that guy. And our players do such a great job of making that connection if they come multiple times. We just had a couple young kids come by, and all of a sudden I'm watching them, our quarterbacks playing catch with them. And hopefully those are fans that are here all the time now. So those are the things we need, and there's tons of other ideas. But, I mean, I know when I coached in the bantam level for my son, I got to know kids on a different level. I got to basically, you know, get a relationship with those kids, and hopefully that'll last forever. But a little busier now that COVID is over. So, but that was something that really kind of piqued my interest. Maybe the players can get out and be a assistant coach and get with a club, you know, adopt a team and see if those kids really, you know, become a mentor for some young young kids. That would be something I think would be great.
I know Kamar Jordan has done that previously here in Calgary. That's kind of helped to grow his brand as well. I just think you're bringing up a lot of good points here, Coach. Like, I'm always kind of surprised at maybe the lack of younger fans that might be, you know, now is different. Kids are in school and whatnot. But during those months of summer, June, July, and whatnot, you guys have your practice schedule out there. You know, you do have the one closed practice where secrets and stuff like that. That's fine. But for the most part, practices are open. Fans can come sit in the stands. And I always encourage them, like, if you go sit in the stands, like, you're going to meet a player. You're going to get your hand shaken. You can give them something. They're so warming with their time, and I feel like it's something that maybe some fans, A, don't understand is available, and maybe you're just underutilizing those opportunities too.
No doubt, and we'll take any fan, but we like the ones under 18, you know. So, but no, honestly, no, that you're right, and we need that. But our players are great. I think, honestly, they understand that we can't just sit back behind our helmets and just sit in our lockers. We got to get out there, and I believe CFL players are probably as accessible as any professional player in all sports, so that's something we try to encourage.
And you've got a very high-character team. Speaking of high character, last one for you. I had a chance to talk to Jalen Philpott yesterday. We're going to be interviewing him in just a moment. Just maybe a thought on the progression that you've seen from your 2022 first-round pick. I know he's got to put on a little bit more muscle in the offseason here, but maybe some overall thoughts.
Well, I think he's kind of feeling healthy finally. I think he's finally feeling like he's got a good base of our knowledge and being out there and making plays. So, you know what, when he's been out there healthy, he's done a nice job. I think he's justified our first-round pick, and I think he's obviously going to get better. He's going to be more opportunities will come his way, and I believe he'll make those plays. He's a good guy to have on our team, like you said. He's not local, but he played at the UFC, and I feel like he has a fan base here as well, and I think that ultimately he's doing the right things as a rookie to take his game to the next level.
And he's got a pretty good salad, too. You should get him to take his bucket off a little bit more.
Well, you got to be who you are, you know what I mean? If you just be you, and I think ultimately, yeah, you got to produce on the field, and then ultimately that translates into more fans off the field.
Always appreciate the time, Coach. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll catch up a little bit later on. Best of luck in BC, hey?
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. That's Dave Dickinson, the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest Hotline. 14-time Consumer Choice Award winners. You can check them out, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or give them a call for takeout or delivery, 403-248-3344. And we're going right back down it in a few moments. But first, I teased it. Here it is, my chat with Jalen Philpott from yesterday. We're just finding out news. Cam Judge got suspended. It's obviously kind of the big news story. We'll talk about the BC game as well. But yeah. How is the team kind of responding to this?
Stuff happens, you know, so we've just had our little sit down with the team and stuff. We talked about it, and, you know, we just coach made it sure that it's not acceptable and we can't have it around the locker room. And we just kind of just going to not think about it. And we got a big game in BC this week. They got the tie breaker against us. So we're just really focused on the game and just going out there and getting this win.
For yourself, tell us about how the game went. You obviously had the touchdown in the end zone. Must have felt good to find pay dirt again.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That was definitely a long time coming for sure. I had a couple I felt like I should have scored. So that felt good to get back in the end zone in a clutch time too. So, you know, just waiting my turn out there, just getting open, showing the coaches that I can make plays. And, just waiting my turn and capitalizing when it comes to me.
We were talking to Jake Mayer after the game, and he said the offense was a little bit choppy, whether it was flags or just not really being able to get into a rhythm. Did you feel the same way, and how can you kind of adapt in this second game?
Yeah, definitely. When you have 14 flags as a team, that's something hard to get over and overcome. So that's one thing that we've preached this week is we can't hurt ourselves, and we just got to go out there and make plays when they come to us. And play a clean game, and we know it's going to get a little chippy out there probably, but just play clean and play a full 60 minutes and hopefully get the win.
They got a really good defensive front. Jake Mayer wasn't sacked, but he was on the run quite a bit. Yep. And what does that mean for you? A guy who plays on the outside typically, it leads to a lot of short passes, and you end up blocking a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Just got to stay in my playbook on my hots and my quick reads, you know, when they send the they play a lot of cover zero, so when they send everyone and blitz everyone, we got to make sure that we see it and we react, and that's something that Dave really stays on us, and just to know our hots. And Jake's really good at staying mobile and get moving around in the pocket and finding guys, so just working on my scramble rules and getting open for Jake.
We saw in the end zone, like, you were quite open on that touchdown. Luther was quite open. Is that just kind of an effect of exactly what you're talking about?
Yeah, a little bit. They want to come up and play cover zero. You know, that's a challenge on us as receivers to get open, beat the man. You know, you only got one man to beat, so you beat him and hopefully you score. So that's what happened on both those plays. So, yeah, we just got to keep capitalizing when they play cover zero.
And you mentioned this might get a little bit chippy. What's the key to kind of making sure that emotions maintain? Because this is a huge game.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely the thought for us. You know, even if they want to get chippy, you know, if they're unhappy, we're just going to play our game, play a clean game. You know, we really feel like that's what stopped us in these last two games against BC is just penalties and not staying poised. So we're just going to stay poised and get this win.
Thanks, Jalen.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Couple of touchdowns for Jalen Philpott this season. I believe it's 14 for 19 catching the ball. He's got 116 yards receiving. It has been an average season. He's dealt with some injuries. Hamstring out of training camp. Yeah. Shoulder injury, concussion for one game as well. But like Dave Dickinson said at the end of our chat, he's finally starting to feel healthy, starting to get consistent snaps. Mm-hmm. He is a bona fide starter on the outside now. He's got the speed. He can run routes. He hasn't been doing as much return work because that's kind of where he got hurt. Mm-hmm. So I understand, you know, maybe once he puts a little bit of weight on in the offseason, you get back to that because he's very effective doing it. But you also need him on the field.
Yeah, and you don't.
And Peyton Logan does a really good job.
And you don't really see it too often. Guys fresh out of the youth sports coming in and trying to make an impact at a skill position in the CFL doesn't happen very often. So having a guy like Philpott getting healthy can definitely help out this offense.
12 for 17, receiving 116 yards, two touchdowns in nine games played. He's also rushed four times for 36 yards. We'll take a break around the corner, back to the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, back to the hockey discussion. We're going to be talking some Lightning with Eric Erlandson from At Lightning Insider as we continue on the big show in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Welcome back to the program, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. You're listening to the big show in the morning. We're deep into hour number two. If you're listening live, 7:32. And we recommend that you go ahead and subscribe to the podcast anyways, because we're deep into the second segment of Hour 2. Spotify, Apple, Google, or Amazon is where you can find the show.
Hour 1's up now.
Fire away, big show in the morning. Just search that in. We got a nice little picture. It's got the Saddle Dome and the Calgary Tower in it. Hit subscribe. Never miss a moment. Never miss an interview. Never miss an episode. Never miss a mistake, because we also make a few of those from time to time.
And they don't edit them out.
No, they certainly don't, despite my crying and pounding of my fists. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Eric Erlandson joins us now. Good morning, Eric. How are you doing today?
Good morning, gentlemen. And hey, maybe you should have like PTI does and just have that things we messed up today at the end of the segment.
Yeah, just have when our producer kind of corrects us. There's a popular show on another network here in Canada. They call it We Blew It, and they just do all of their errors at the end of the show. So the problem is I don't know if we have enough show.
It would be a very short segment, I'm sure.
No, I think it's the opposite. But listen.
Make a whole hour out of it.
It's not like you go to thelightninginsider.com. That thing is just full of facts, like bona fide facts and no mistakes. And that's where you can find all of Eric's work. Appreciate you taking some time today. There's some interesting questions around this Tampa Bay Lightning team, because for the third straight year, they went to the Stanley Cup Final, but this time, no parade when they went home. So how did the offseason feel, given how the last couple went prior?
It was probably the longest short off season the Lightning have ever had. You know, they just going back to listening to some of the comments, specifically from Captain Steven Stamkos after they lost that game 6 to Colorado. Like, you wonder, okay, you've won 2 straight cups. How is this going to feel now that you made it to the mountain again and you didn't claim the prize? And there was devastation. There was pain. You could feel it. You could sense it. You could see it. So you wonder, you know, how do they dig down deep again and find ways to get that motivation? And look, everybody's motivated to get the cup. There's no doubt about it. But when you've accomplished what this team has, where do you dig down deep again and try and make that fourth straight cup to the run, or fourth straight run to the cup?
And we know, like, Stamkos is going to be a big part of this because he's obviously been there for a while. But I think that for this particular run, he was maybe healthier than some of his compatriots, at least. Are you monitoring any injuries that players might be rehabbing over the offseason?
Well, we already know that Anthony Cirelli and Zach Bogosian will not be ready to start the season. They both had shoulder surgery coming out of the playoffs. We'll keep an eye on Braden Point, who, of course, missed most of the postseason with that torn quad muscle that he had. You know, there were a few other players. I know Ryan McDonough was one of them. He's in Nashville now, but he had a mangled finger coming out of that. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on some of those things. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the start of the regular season goes for this team, right? Because if you get off to a slow start, as you know in this league, it's hard to catch up. So they can't be slow out of the gates with as competitive as the Atlantic Division looks like it should be, at least on paper this year. You know, so they're going to have to fight through a lot of those injuries that they did suffer towards the playoffs that probably lingered over the summer.
Some significant departures. Andre Palat and Ryan McDonough both gone. Palat, a lifelong Bolt. It's going to be weird seeing him in a different uniform. McDonough was acquired for those cup wins from the Rangers. This is a team that's had to make changes the last couple off seasons after they win a cup. So will this one hurt more or less than some of those previous off seasons when they've had to make some other difficult choices?
This one probably hurts more because of a guy like Palat, who, you know, they wanted to keep. It's not a question that they didn't want him. It's just the salary cap situation wasn't going to allow it. I mean, you know, Palat's making $6 million in New Jersey when he was making, I think, 5.25 here under the contract that he just finished. So he got a big raise, which he just wasn't going to get here. Seeing McDonough go is a big blow to that back end. Just so steady, reliable, ate up a lot of minutes, killed penalties, took on the tough defensive assignments. So those ones you're going to miss. And believe it or not, they're going to miss a guy like Jan Ruda, who went to Pittsburgh on a 3-year deal. He was a very steady partner for Victor Hedman, and that's not easy to do. It's not easy to play with Victor Hedman, and Jan Ruda did it very well. So those are three names that they're going to miss. I think that Palat is the big one, though, right? Drafted in 2011, late seventh-round draft pick. Turned into a very, very steady performer, a clutch performer, especially last year in the postseason. I think that one's going to hurt. That one's going to be weird the first time he comes back in a Devils uniform, which actually won't be until March.
Well, that's kind of strange, hey? Like, are you looking towards anything that's coming up early? Maybe some guys that are going to be coming through to get a nice little video tribute early on in the season?
Maybe the one might be Derek Lalonde, who was the assistant coach here the last couple of years, who's now the head coach in Detroit. So there's another loss that's, you know, going to affect the team a little bit, even though they bring Jeff Blashill in to replace him. You know, Derek Lalonde meant a lot. He was kind of a behind-the-scenes kind of coach. We got to talk to him on occasion, but he was more behind-the-scenes, did a lot of the planning and everything else for the coaching staff. So that's one that I think his is probably the first one of all the departures that comes in.
Now, that's very intriguing as well, because I wonder what that change is going to be. You must have understood that sooner rather than later, Lalonde is going to get a head coaching opportunity, and this was going to be just another one of those offseason changes the Bolts would have to roll with.
Yeah, it's a surprise, honestly, that you know none of the other coaches had left to take head coaching jobs under John Cooper, you know, until Lalonde. So it's a curious, different type of offseason for the coaching staff. They've had departures before for whatever reasons, but this one was probably expected. Just like you have to retool the roster, you know, they just have to retool the coaching staff a little bit. And, you know, to be able to bring in a guy like Blashill to, you know, replace him with the head coaching experience he has, the relationship he has with John Cooper, those two go back, you know, their days in midget hockey in the Michigan area. So that I think that'll be a seamless transition. But, yeah, I mean, you have to expect this. It's the price of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the challenges of being so good for so darn long. Eric Erlandson from LightningInsider.com, at Lightning Insider on Twitter, joins us here on The Big Show in the Morning. My name is Matt Rose. He's Patty Dumas.
Eric, the Lightning acquired Brandon Hagel last year at the trade deadline from the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for, you know, Taylor Radish, Boris Tkachuk, and a couple first-round picks. What is the expectation for Hagel stepping up into this? Can he produce in a top-six role, perhaps?
Well, he could play with Patrick Kane, so that tells you that he can play with top players, right? Mm-hmm. I think when they acquired him, you know, some of the talk and discussion was, okay, here's your Andre Palat replacement, assuming he's not able to come back. He's not the same type of player. I think he has a little more energy to his game. He's certainly not as big. He's not as physical. Andre Palat can bang you in the corners, you know, with the way that he approaches the game. But, yeah, that's, you know, he didn't quite – pick up the system maybe as quick as they had thought. And I know in conversations that I had with people, you know, he admitted that it was a different system and it took him a while to adjust. Mm-hmm. So he didn't get that top six role as soon as he came here. With a full training camp now that he's going to have and some preseason, I think they have a thought process that he is going to be a top six guy. He was a 20 goal scorer in Chicago. There's no reason to think he can't hit that mark playing regular top 6 minutes with this team. So that's the hope. I guess the backfall there is that you brought in Nick Paul and you signed Nick Paul to a 7-year contract. So you believe in what he was able to do when he was here. So they've got some versatility within their lineup. Their top nine are really very versatile. And you know, Nick Paul, they bring back Vladislav Nemestikov and that type of situation. So they have some versatility, but I think when they acquired Hagel, they absolutely had some thought process that you could plug him in a top six role, possibly in, you know, where Palat used to play.
The Bolts handed out 3 8-year contracts to Mikhail Sergachev, Eric Chernak, and Anthony Cirelli. Nick Paul, you mentioned there, gets a long-term deal as well. How is this new look core for the Lightning looking?
Well, I mean, you still have the Stamkos and Hedman and Kucherov, and, mm-hmm. You know, Braden Point's only 26 years old. I think Kucherov's 29. So you have, you know, that longer-term core that's been here, but you have these younger players, and, you know, you have to have that. You can't have all your players in the same sort of development stage or, you know, process of where they're at in their career. So you make sure you lock in a Sergachev and a Chernak and a Sorelli, guys you know who are going to be a part of whatever success you have in the future. I don't know what kind of leadership roles those guys will take on. Maybe down the road they could do it, but it's so important. You know, the way that Julien Brisebois has worked the salary cap to keep this roster competitive, to be able to get players like that locked in so you don't have to worry about those contracts every 3, 4, 5 years, you know, especially the last couple with the uncertainty, the cap. At least now there's a thought process and understanding that cap is going to go up starting next season and it's going to take a significant jump. I think that's going to benefit, obviously, all teams in the league, but I think specifically Tampa Bay with some of the contracts they've signed these guys to.
Are there any up-and-coming like prospects or any players that maybe had some time in the A that maybe showed up a little bit in Tampa last year that could make maybe an impact this year?
Well, part of the price of success is you give away draft picks, yeah, and you don't draft high when you do draft. So they don't have any quote-unquote blue-chip type of guys. But a guy like Gabriel Fortier, he was a second-round pick, I think, in 2019, 2018, somewhere in that range. He got a 10-game call-up last year. They expect some things out of him. A guy like Cole Koepke, who came out of Minnesota Duluth, first pro year last year, had 20 goals in Syracuse as a rookie. Jack Finley's a big 6'6" center, second-round draft pick from 2020. So they've got a couple of guys that are mid-tier prospects, but nobody that's going to jump off a prospect page.
So now we look at this division in the Atlantic. You got the Bolts, you got the Panthers, the Leafs are the teams that kind of have locked into playoff positioning. Questions about the Bruins, the Senators should be better, the Red Wings and Sabres should be improved, and then there's the Canadiens, who are probably in the Bedard sweepstakes, or they might not be. I don't know about that group. But how do you feel the Lightning stack up in that Atlantic division?
Well, first of all, never count out Marty St. Louis.
Fair. Very fair. You would know that better than most.
Absolutely. I mean, look, they should be, you know, a playoff team for sure. They should compete for a division title, I think, for sure. You've got Andre Vasilevsky in net. Anytime you have a goalie like that, you know, you're – chance of success is greatly improved. I think points are going to be harder to come by. There was such a gap between the top four and the bottom four in the Atlantic over the last couple of years. I don't think we're going to see that this year. You look at the improvements that Ottawa has made and what they brought in. Buffalo finally looks like they're shaking out of the doldrums of their last past decade, and what they've kind of gone through. Detroit should be a more competitive team. But I think at the end of the season, I think we're still going to look at Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Florida as a top three. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who finishes fourth, and if finishing fourth in this division is good enough for a wild card spot this year.
I just hope that the Eastern Conference doesn't do what it did last year and it was like November and everything was set.
Yeah. Yeah, that was made for boring second half of hockey. Then, I mean, you knew who the top eight were by Christmas. And, you know, you don't want that. The league doesn't want that. There's a reason the league likes the parity in the league the way it is to keep teams involved in the races deep into the season. And certainly we just did not get that last year. I'm with you. I hope there's some more competitive balance in the Eastern Conference this year.
Eric, I just want to leave you with this. We're also keeping a keen eye on the Toronto Blue Jays, and I know it's kind of more of a fan perspective for you, but the Tampa Bay Rays, man, this might be a divisional match. We got a big series coming up this weekend. How are you feeling about your Rays?
Well, Houston's come in and shut them down the last couple of games. I mean, they've got nothing off the Astros in the past two, so they go to rebound today. I think if Tyler Glasnow gets added to this roster and even pitches an inning or two, I think that's a huge boost to this team to see him back on the mound in the majors, you know, what is it, about 15 months after undergoing Tommy John surgery. I think that'll be a big boost. Not only is it a big, you know, series coming up this weekend, it might be a first-round divisional matchup, yep, you know, in the playoffs, which should make it for very exciting. It's just going to come down to who has the home field advantage on that situation. A weird playoff this year, right? Whoever hosts all three games, that's kind of, boy, that's a major incentive for finishing above. But, boy, that's just so weird to have all three games take place in one park.
I've always found the Major League playoffs so peculiar. Like, you play 160, the old format, you would play 162 yeah, games, and wild card was one to get into the next round, and now they advance it, but now you have to stay. Like, I don't know. I like the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm a purist in that sense, but it is what it is. Eric, appreciate the time today. Enjoy the rest of training camp, and I'm sure we'll check in as the Bolts probably rattle off like a dozen wins to start the season, something silly like that. That's just what I'd assume.
Hey, guys, I appreciate the time, and I don't think we made any errors in this segment, so I think we're good.
We'll have to get a fact checker on it, but I think we're actually pretty good. Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, guys, take care.
There you go. Eric Erlandson joining us from @lightninginsider.com or @lightninginsider on Twitter.
That's a team. They're healthy last year. They might be three-time Stanley Cup champs in a row.
It's crazy.
They got hurt at the bad time last year.
Everybody on their team was playing banged up.
Yep.
Cirelli, Point, Cernak, Bogosian, Stamkos. I'm sure Hedman was dealing with something insane.
It's a lot of hockey. And
I didn't even mention Vasi or Kucherov.
Yeah.
Seems so good.
It is very good. And like it's one of the questions. Like, they stay healthy, they're probably, you know, 55, 56 win team.
Probably, like you would assume so. Like the thing for me is that they're...
I think they can be better than Florida.
I think they play in the hardest division in the NHL this year.
100%. I think it was the toughest last year.
I think, like, and like Eric said, Montreal on paper is the worst team in that league.
But they are such a yo-yo group.
And they were all underperformed last year.
Yeah.
Anderson, Dvorak, the list goes on. They all underperformed. Caulfield took... 75% of the season to get his feet wet.
Yeah, it wasn't playoff Caulfield, that's for sure. And no. I worry about goaltending, obviously. It's just, it's not
it's
the
still
same.
Jake Allen.
It's Allen, it's Montembeau. We'll see what happens there.
You worry about the blue line. Like, there's a lot of worries there.
But like,
but they're not Chicago.
No.
They're not Arizona.
I don't think they're Philly, even.
No, I would agree. But granted, like, they're in a pretty good spot, because if things do happen to bottom out, then you can move some pieces out.
And who knows, like, what Slavkovsky could do as a rookie? Who knows?
Slavkovsky.
What he can do as a rookie, man? Like,
he's big.
Yeah, the Habs are a team that very up, down. You know, this was a team in the Cup Final 2 seasons ago to be picking first overall the next season. So, but yeah, this division is loaded, and John Cooper is the one, the be-all, the end-all for Tampa Bay, keeping those guys righted.
The only way I'm betting against Marty St. Louis is if it's on someone else's dime. So
yeah, exactly.
There's that little wrinkle as well. There's going to be an interesting one to watch. And then you've got Florida, still good, but are they going to be as good as last year?
I think they take a step back.
I think they take a step back, too.
Yeah.
What?
It's...
Do they trade one of their goalies?
Mackenzie, more so than, not so much Huberto, but I think more so they'll miss Mackenzie Weegar more than anything in Florida.
Don't tell a Panthers fan that. They will disagree vehemently after he made, like, a few errors in the postseason. After having an incredible regular season, they were like, this guy's a bug! Get rid of him!
You got to play 82 games to get to April, man.
Yeah, exactly. And, frankly, I think he's going to be a good... Like, did you listen to Jonathan Huberto's interview on 32 Thoughts, the most recent one that they dropped?
No.
They dropped some more of their interviews from the media tour, and Jonathan Huberto was part of it, and he talked about a lot of things. The two that
I know, he said he was never, like, unless Montreal was going to trade for me, I was never going there.
Yeah, so me and you laughed about that a little bit earlier this week. I was trying to listen to the interview while I was doing show prep, so I went back and I listened to it. Anyways, he talked about signing the long-term contract in Calgary. I think Elliot's question was that dinner in Montreal must have been really good.
Yeah.
And he just talked about, like, yeah, like, it was. First off, but it wasn't like a business discussion. It was literally just, you know, myself getting to know Brad for a living. He also talks about, you know, Montreal's not really an easy market to play in
if you're
a French-Canadian speaker. Like, you're already, you know, being a player of his caliber. They already expect a ton of pressure.
Like,
and yeah, they expect so much more.
They expect this, you know, like... It's a team without a captain. It's a team that relies on, you know, like, if you're not going, they'll be on you every game. It's the way it is in Quebec and Montreal. And I get how guys don't want to play there. And you get some guys like, okay, well, I got to learn the language and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I know being a captain is a big deal there as well. And that's something that maybe they possibly thought maybe for Huberto down the line. But it is a lot of pressure. And good on him for admitting that, these Canadian markets are really tough to play in. And not to say, like, Calgary's not a tough market to play in. The media will be on you and whatnot.
And the
fans are definitely on you as well. It's just not to the point of where Montreal or Toronto can be, where
it's an original
day in,
six franchise.
Day out.
It's different.
Yeah. You live, you breathe hockey in that place.
And the final thing that he said on that note was, if Montreal wanted me, they probably could have traded for me.
Exactly.
And you know who did? It was the Calgary Flames. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
hell yeah, somebody
this
wanted
guy.
Me.
Yes, right on. He gets it.
It's nice to be wanted. And Florida thought, hey, we got this new little shiny toy, you know, we want to play.
Younger guy,
go on it.
Enjoy. And so that was the big stuff on, like, the Montreal and re-signing in Calgary. Mm-hmm. But then he also talked about the Tampa Bay series and being knocked out of the postseason and everything that kind of went hand in hand with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about, you know, we lost, but you understood some very important lessons? Like when you were watching Steven Stamkos lay out and block shots the way he was doing in that series against Florida?
It's contagious almost. You see, like,
yeah,
you
and, it was one of those things where, you know, you kind of hear that and you're like, okay, well, why didn't you do it kind of right away? But I think it does take a little bit of time to maybe reflect over the summer, go back and watch, and maybe when you're watching, you know, on film, not from the bench or on the ice, you maybe notice, like, oh my goodness, like, he's really sacrificing himself.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, you're focused more on yourself, your own team, that type of stuff. You don't really pay as much attention to who's on and off the bench on the other side of the ice.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that was something that he, like, unprompted kind of brought up about the last playoff run. So I thought that was very cool as well. So I'm excited to see Jonathan Huberto. That's the main reason. And if you haven't gotten listened to 32 Thoughts with Huberto, it's very good. There's also a Connor McDavid interview in there. And both of the Hughes brothers, which I quite enjoyed, Quinn and Jack. I quite enjoy those guys. They seem like fun guys.
Quinn, the Hughes brothers?
Yeah. Yeah. I want them all to play together in New Jersey.
Canucks
fans will hate me saying that, but all I want is for all three of them to play together in Jersey.
New Jersey and Vancouver have trade history there.
They do.
I think you're going to like this one.
I think you're going to like this one. Yes. Man, it's close. Very close. We're going to talk some Bruins around the corner. A legend hangs him up. Signs a one-year contract with the Boston Bruins to retire after over 1,600 NHL games. The most ever by an NHL defenseman. We'll talk about the retirement of Zdeno Chara with Joe Haggerty from Boston Hockey Now around the corner. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary traffic update.
Travel speed on Crowchild Trail slows to the northwest. Southbound volume very tight near 24th Avenue. In fact, we're backed up now beyond Shaganapi Trail. Stony Trail northwest also heavy southbound from at least Nose Hill Drive over toward 16th Avenue. Once you merge onto eastbound 16th and get past Winsport COP, things finally open up. And Deerfoot slows where you expect, the southeast northbound at Anderson and the northeast southbound approaching Beddington Trail. In the City News 660 Traffic Center, I'm Tanya Blakeney. Visit Shoppers Drug Mart today for the bonus redemption event. Get more for your points. A Shoppers Drug Mart exclusive. Restrictions apply. Offer valid in store and online.
Introducing Calgary's newest ice hockey league, the Sport and Social Club Hockey League, powered by CSSC. It's 3-on-3, which means more breakaways, more assists, and more goals. It's also played exclusively at the Hockey Hub YYC once a week, so no more chaotic schedules. It's only $2,500 for 11 weeks with licensed referees, time and stats trackers, and access to Carha Insurance. Your dentist will thank you. Register by September 21st for the first game on the 27th. Visit CalgarySportsClub.com.